Doesn't it make you very happy to know that you know Jesus? You know, Jesus is coming again, you know, and some of us may get a pre-trib rapture and some of us may get a mid-trib rapture. I don't know. But one thing for sure, we're all going to get a rapture. I don't know when he's coming, how he's coming. I just know he's coming because it's written in the Word. And so I suggest that we be ready. Nobody really knows when your day to leave this earth, do you? We don't think much about it. If you're like me, you kind of live your whole life planning that you're going to live tomorrow. You know, that's kind of the way I live mine. But I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, am I? But what am I guaranteed about tomorrow? That if I die, I have eternal life, right? That's a guarantee from God to bless me with eternal life. And so I can go through each day with no fear, knowing that when the day does come that it's my last day on this earth, I have no fear of stepping into the eternal with the Lord. I just stand in awe of the privilege that he's given us to be washed in his blood and to be made right before the throne of God because of what he did, not what we did, but because of what he did. All we got to do is accept him as Lord and Savior, and then he gives us eternal life. But you know, one thing about it, you know, after we listened to Howard Pittman the other day, we all know that we're all going to die and stand before God. Right, Jack? I don't want to hear what Howard heard. I do not. I want to hear, well done, son. I think that's what we all want to hear, right? Well done, faithful servant. So now then, my lovely bride, she's got something she wants to tell you again. We have this every year.
December the 8th, the second Sunday after Thanksgiving. It's going to be our 6th anniversary for the building of the church, as well as we're going to have a potluck dinner. And so you need to bring some kind of food, your friends, family. We'll have it right after the church service about 4:30, and we got little signs posted everywhere. So Sunday, December the 8th, is the potluck dinner, okay? All right, then you know about the Christmas tree. We're doing our 12th annual Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit, and this week we got 3 more children, and 2 of them are brothers that are 10 and 11, and I believe they're Muslim because she wrote on the note, we're so excited to tell them about Jesus. And I just feel that that's what the situation is. They came with only the backpack on their back. That was it. They have no clothes. These children, when they bring them in from these bad situations, you know, it's normally what happens is the CPS, the Child Protective Services, picks them up, and then they give them to whomever, and a lot of children end up at Christ Haven. And then we have a little girl that I've been praying for her, and that's something too, everybody needs to be praying for these children. She's 9 years old, and she wears a size 1X, 2X women top. Does that tell you something? That means that that little girl's been terribly abused by some people, and who knows what. I had to go online to their girls plus sizes to be able to get her cute girl clothes. You're 9 years old, why are you going to wear women's? You know what I mean? I bought first some women's clothes, and I said, you know, I just can't give her these. These are so old. That's a good word. So I took them all back. So now, so far, we've raised about, I'd say, $22,000. I've spent probably $18,000 because I did go shopping with Christy on Friday. We bought over $4,000 worth of clothes, and Kohl's gave me $880 in Kohl's cash, and which I get to respend. And then they also, of course, I get $500 for shopping. And I had so much stuff that I couldn't get it all boxed. So people that had said they'd like to wrap can come wrap on Monday. But after that, it probably will go down again because there's some other people that want to come wrap too. So thank you for everyone that helps. If you give for this event, just mark on your check or on the giving envelope, just say for the children. And I know where it goes that way because I don't get it unless it says that, okay? But I'm just really excited. This event is December the 16th. It's on a Monday from 5 to 7. Anybody that wants to come help can come help. We have to prepare the food. We have to take all the gifts and put them out. Last year, Peggy and Cecile Cope went and washed all the dishes. Yes, and so a lot of people help. And so thank you for helping, and we love you. And I have 4 more weeks, so... If you can, oh, and I also have already had Grace just called me this week. Grace is Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange. They called us to ask, am I going to help them? And I said, yes, that I was going to help them. Of course, we're gone this week. We'll go to California in the middle of the week. Christy's having to go to Ambucks. Normally, every year for 12 years, I've gone to Ambucks and presented our case and gotten money from them, anywhere from $500 to $2,500. And so she said, "You're making me go by myself." I said, "You made me go 1 year by myself. So yes, I'm out of town. So you're going to have to just go do that and go to Classic Chevrolet and get his $500 and, you know, just certain things we have to do to collect the money." So Grace, last year they had 2,000 children and 650 families that are in need. Okay, so I don't know how many they have this year, but last year I think I spent over $25,000 for them alone. So I'm real close to finishing Christ Haven. I need a lot of gift cards. And then we go to Grace, and as soon as I get them finished, then I go to Salvation Army.
Praise the Lord. Wow, there's a lot of need out there, isn't there? If people would only obey God and do what He said, we wouldn't have all this problem, would we? You know, if we would obey the Master, of course, He's told us in His Word so many times. And of course, I think the major problem that I've noticed in the church, just like Dave said a while ago, you know, when he says something about how long it took him to learn these truths, you know, it took him a long time. You know, Eric, it took you a while too, didn't it? Eric and I've talked a few times about his past life, and he kind of had a rotten life, a wrong through there, made all kinds of mistakes. He's a normal man. You know, we don't know the promises of God. And what's really something is when we go to church, and this is what's bad, we go to church, we really don't learn a whole lot. You know, we come in, we listen to a pastor. Most of the churches that I was involved in, we were really steeped in tradition. You know, so we came in at 9:15 in the morning and went till 10:15 or whatever. And, you know, that was a time of Bible study, but, you know, we had always had the coffee and donuts, and we had the major meeting to welcome everybody. And so when you got in your Sunday school class, if you got 20 minutes, you were lucky. And then in that 20 minutes, usually somebody wanted to talk about something else, so you didn't really get much of that. So you didn't learn a whole lot. And then when you come into service, you know, we had singing, you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and then make the announcements out of the bulletin, and then the pastor get up and preach for 20 minutes, and then we sing a couple more songs, and we go home. And I usually went home with not very much more knowledge than I had when I came. That's why I don't give you a 20-minute sermon. You know? I always tell people, if you get tired before I do, there's the door. You can leave anytime you want to. I don't force anybody to stay. You know, so if you get tired before I do and you want to go home, or if you get hungry and it's still 3 o'clock in the afternoon and four or 5 o'clock in the afternoon and you eat at six and you can't make it home, well then, hey, you know, just get up and excuse yourself and go on and go home. I don't have a problem with that, but I like to be able to learn a little bit about God's Word and understand the promises of God. You know, he said a word that I guess, like Dave said a while ago, I've read this word. And I want to go to this one word or this one verse, and Psalms 107, verse 19 and 20, two verses. Psalms 107, verse 19 and 20. And I want us to look at this. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. What did these people do? They cried out to the Lord. Cheryl and I went over to the hospital this week to pray for a man that we know. You know, he got hurt riding a horse. The horse reared up and went all the way over backwards. And although he's a professional rider and trainer and everything else, when the horse reared up and went over backwards, it fell over and it fell on him, and the saddle horn went right into his stomach. Now you can imagine what that could do to you. That could bust intestines. You know, of course, that night when we got a text from him saying, you know, I have been hurt severely, pray. So I guess we're the only people he knew to call to pray, because he's not actively involved in a church. And I've told him how much he needs a church family. And I've told him before that if he ever needs anything, call us. We'll be happy to pray for him. Well, he really did. He listened. And we went up there to the hospital. We prayed over him. And while we were actually, when we got there, they were giving him a shower. So we had to stay outside for a few minutes. And while we were sitting outside, I'm sitting there in a chair. And here is this, how would you think that guy was walking along with that little walker and that little, maybe 60s, you know, I mean, so he's walking like this. Of course, he walked by me, and as he walked by me, the Holy Spirit just convicted me, you need to pray for him. And my first thought was, well, Lord, I don't even know who he is. And so he walked by, and I waited till he got about far as Weston is from me, and I thought, okay, Lord. So I get up, and I go down there, and I tap him on the back, and he turns and looks at me, and I said, sir, could I pray for you? He says, no, absolutely not. I said, well, okay. So what do you do when you are convicted by the Holy Spirit to pray for someone and they won't even let you pray for them in a hospital? I mean, if I was in hospital and I didn't even know Jesus and somebody come and said, can I pray for you? I would never say no. Do y'all see how steeped in the world we are today? When a man, probably not over 60 something, you know, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I just stand in awe at how we are deceived and how we're cheated, because somehow in this man's life, he was raised somehow that he did not believe in God. All right, now he might have believed in God because I remember that same hospital. Now, a few years ago, there was a lady called me one night about 11 o'clock and said, Thurman, we're at Regional Hospital in Denton. And a friend of mine, she's having a heart attack, and would you come up here and pray for her? I said, well, sure. It was about 11 o'clock at night, but I didn't have anything else to do that night. So I thought, okay, sure, I'll be happy to. So I said, what room are you in? She said, we're in ICU. I said, okay. So, man, I jumped in my truck and ran up to the hospital. I walked in, and I met her at the door, and she took me in there, and she said, I want you to come in and pray. And, of course, I looked around, and here's the whole family now. They all think this girl's fixing to die. So the whole family is there, mom and dad, sisters, brothers, everybody is there. And I start to walk through, and some lady says, and who are you? I said, well, I'm a pastor. And this young lady here, she comes to my church, and so she called me tonight and wanted me to come and pray for this lady here. She said, that's my daughter in there. What denomination are you associated with? I said, well, ma'am, I'm non-denominational. She said, I want you to know we are all Church of Christ. And if you're not Church of Christ, you cannot go in that room and pray for my daughter. I thought, wow, I mean, I really am a member of the Church of Christ, am I not? I mean, isn't he my king? Are we really members of the Church of Christ? Are we really members of Church of Christ? The real Church of Christ, not just by name. But she would not let me go in there. She said, no, you will. I will not allow you to go in there. I said, well, all I want to do is just go in there and stand on Mark 16, 18 and lay hands on her. She said, I thought you was going to say that. She said, we don't believe in that. So I turn around, and the lady that asked me to come, she follows me out. She said, Thurman, I'm so sorry. She said, I had no idea that they wouldn't let you pray. I said, honey, come over here. She said, what? I said, lay your hands out there. She laid her hands out. I laid my hands in hers, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I impart the power of the Holy Spirit into this girl that can get in there. Now, I can't get there, but she can. So I'm asking you to take the power of the Holy Spirit you put upon me and put it on her. And when she goes in and lays her hands on that girl's going to get well in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, see, there's more than one way to skin this kitty. See, because God is moving on me to do something, and that's where all this is coming from the Holy Spirit. So after I prayed for her, I told her, I said, good day, bye. I said, all y'all, I said, I'm nice meeting all of y'all, and I will see you later. And so I walked out the door. And after I left, this girl, she goes in because she has no problem. She was her best friend. So she has no problem getting in to her. So she goes in, and I said, when you go in there, just put your hands on her arm and say, according to Mark 16, 18, be healed. Did Jesus say, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover? Amen. So I said, that's all you got to do. Just quote that verse. And I said, the Lord will do something wonderful for your friend. And so she goes in there and real gently, quietly goes in with nobody else in there and just gets right down in her ear and puts her hands on her and said, it is written. And she said, Mark 16, 18 says, all I got to do is lay my hands on you and you will get well. So it's done in Jesus' name. And she called me the next morning about 8 o'clock and said, Thurman, they just released my friend from the hospital. Something happened and it wasn't really a heart attack after all. She just had a pain in her chest and they can't find a thing wrong with her. So they said, turned her loose and she's on the way home. Now, what can we do if we believe God? Isn't that wonderful? Now then, look at this promise. He sent his word. And what did it do? and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. What did he send to heal people? His word. Just like Dave also said a while ago, he doesn't watch over mine and your words unless our words is his words. When our words is his words, they work, don't they, Betty? See, isn't it amazing how difficult that we have made it for God to heal his people? I mean, we're supposed to be Christians. I've had this experience with several different pastors and Baptist churches and Church of Christ and everything else, that if you're a believer that Jesus works in the gifts of the Spirit, there's lots of churches won't let you in the door. Now, I don't understand that, ladies and gentlemen. I just don't understand it. I'm walking in there with my Bible, which is the same Bible they use. The promises are in my Bible, just like they're in their Bible. Why do we not believe these promises? That's a good question, isn't it? So what did God say he sent and healed us? So what do we need to do whenever something happens, when we come down sick? Again, I go back to what Dave said a while ago with 1 John 1:9. What do we need to do when we get sick? First thing we need to do is say, Lord, I must have sinned and I confess my sin, right? And it's really nice if you know what that sin is. And if you don't know what it is, you know, ask him, so let him tell you, because you might confess the wrong sin. And the one you really need to get healed might not be the one you're confessing. And so therefore you might go ahead and stay sick, or you might go ahead and die. But you want to make sure, you don't want to be like Jenna. You know, Jenna's mom and dad, we fought that case for 1.5 years before we finally found out what their sin was. And we finally had to go to God, and he had to tell us, because we couldn't find it no other way. And when the Lord finally told us what the sin was in her case, and it was the mother's lying and deceiving, her husband was what caused the little girl to be born sick and be sick for 8 years. And then after she repented and we prayed, the little girl was miraculously healed in just a matter of days, 2 weeks. So we want to make sure that when we do something, if we get sick or we come down with a problem, the first thing we do is come to the Master and say, Lord, I have sinned and it wasn't worth it. I confess my sin to you. Now then, I ask you to clean up my mess. I like the way Dave says that. You know, God will clean up your mess, because it is a mess. Is it not? Yes. So then when we repent of our sin, then what do we need to do to start our healing? What is the word? What does it say we need to do? He sent his what? His word and healed us. Yeah, that's just like Ben up here. Ben, what happened to you recently?
Spider bit me in the finger.
And it wasn't just any spider. It was a recluse spider. A brown. And the minute that he finally showed Cheryl and I the other night his finger, and there's a huge hole in his finger, I knew, and Cheryl knew, he'd been bit by a recluse. Because I got bit by one myself years ago. Right here on the elbow. I saw him when he bit me. I mean, I was laying under my tractor in the dark, working on my tractor under there, and this spider, I saw him just jump right up on me, a little brown spider. They ain't very big. And he bit me, and I'm telling you what, the skin and everything begins to rot immediately. And it did. And I had a big hole in my arm right there. And it took me a week. And of course, by the end of the day, my arm was all swelled up, had a big old knot on my arm. And by the next day, it happened on Thursday, and by Saturday, my arm from my wrist to my shoulder was at least 1/2 inch thicker all the way around than it had been the day before. And when I woke up that morning, Saturday morning, and I couldn't hardly bend my arm, it was so hard, I heard this little voice, "You fool, you should have went to the doctor the first day. You're going to lose your arm." Now, who do you think that was? You think that was God?
No.
Not hardly. Ben, when I asked Ben, he said he'd even heard that voice. You heard the same thing. Now, isn't it amazing how the beast is always around? But his finger was looking so bad. So I told Ben, I said, Ben, what I want you to do, now let me just ask you, not Ben, he knows, what scripture would you use to base your faith on if he sent his word? What word would you use from God to get healed of a brown recluse spider bite? What's that, Miss Jackie? No deadly poison. Where's that found?
Mark 16:18.
Oh, okay. Let's put Mark 16:18 on the board, and I want you to see these words. Now, what did God say he sent to heal us? His what?
Word.
His word. I mean, he sent his word. So look at what Mark 16:18 says. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Is that a pretty awesome promise? I mean, if any deadly thing, I don't care if it comes from a spider, a rattlesnake, or what. In fact, last night, as we'd been down to the horses, just about dark, we're coming back from the horses, and I'm walking across there with Cheryl and all the kids, and all of a sudden I look in front of me, and there goes, when it comes to the white, I didn't see it in the grass, but as soon as you come to the white part of the road, there's a big old snake about that long right in front of us, just going right out through there. Cheryl, boy, she saw it, she started screaming, "Kids, there's a snake!" I mean, you boy, she was voicing it. Well, while she was voicing it, there was a big old rock about that big laying right there, so I picked up that rock and, you know, old dead eye, you know, whop, you know, and I started throwing that rock at that snake, and of course, you know, I'm hitting him somewhere every time, and that rock is doing serious damage to that body, I'll have to say. And, you know, I don't know what kind of snake it is, you know, so I really can't see that well. I just know he's, you know, about that big around, you know, bigger than my finger, about big finger. And he's really trying to get away. And after I throw the rock three or four times and hit him, well, he finally just stops crawling and, you know, comes up in a big knot. And so then I tell Cheryl, she tells Preston, "Preston, run and get that shovel for Granddaddy." So he went and got the shovel while I'm still pounding him with a rock. And then when Preston gets back with the shovel, I cut his head off. And then I pick him up and take him over and put him in a trash can. My nephew and his wife and daughter comes by about that time. And I tell them, and they said, they don't know what kind of snake it is. So the girls and all of them, they run in and look on the computer. And after looking at the snake, they think it's a diamondback rattlesnake. I told them, I said, no, I can assure you it was not a diamondback rattlesnake because there was no rattlers. A snake that long, I mean, I've killed a lot of rattlesnakes in my life, and if he's that long, he's got rattlers, and he's going to rattle. And when he comes up, I've heard them many a time in my life. So, but that wasn't no rattlesnake, but I didn't know what it was. So my nephew said, "Well, let's go look at it. I know a lot about snakes." So we went over there, and we opened the trash can where I'd thrown him in there. And when I reached down to pick him up to pull him out of there, even though his head is virtually cut off, he's still alive. You know, he's trying to strike without a head. Isn't that something? In fact, Chuck, my nephew, told me one of his friends had killed a rattlesnake down at Temple Waco, and they went out to do something. And when they went out there, he went to pick him up, and he had already cut him really severely, but his head was still on him. And when he touched the tail, he was going to cut the rattlers off. And when he touched the tail, the snake come around, oh, he's dead. The snake come around and bit him on the hand. So, you know, be careful when you're around snakes. You know, don't handle them if you don't have to. If you do, make sure you cut the head off first, you know. But anyway, it turned out to be a bull snake. Yeah, it turned out to be a bull snake. When my nephew saw it, he said, "Oh, it's just a bull snake." I said, "That ain't no problem, you know." So, and he said, "In fact, they're not even poisonous. There's the head laying down." I was going to put the head in the shovel. He just reached down, picked up the head, and threw it in the trash can. He said, "Thurman, it's not no problem. He's tougher than me. You know, I don't know. Either that or he's crazier than me. I don't know which one of the two." But anyway, if we were to get bit by a snake, we get bit by a spider, a wasp, or anything else, what can we do with a scripture like this? "If you drink or get any deadly thing in your body, it shall not hurt you." Is that what God said? So can you use that? Ben, did you use that? And you called the king in remembrance of that several times, didn't you, son?
Several.
And what kind of condition is your finger in today compared to what it was last week?
Oh, there's no swelling at all. It doesn't hurt. Scabs almost healed.
Oh, wow. See there? Now, Ben, even he went down to a Bible study class or something the other night. I think he had a couple of people down there kind of wanted you to go to the doctor. And that, when they saw it, they kind of thought, he said, "I've already been to the doctor. The best doctor in the world." Is he the best doctor in the world?
Amen.
Amen. See, now what did God send? Did he send a bottle of medicine to heal his finger?
No.
No. What did God send to heal us?
His word.
His word. Now what if you don't know his word? What if you don't know a promise? If you don't know a promise, what are you going to do? You're in trouble. In other words, that's just like a doctor going to a doctor, and the doctor says, here, Pat, your bottle of medicine, I got it for you, but you can't reach and get it. You can't take it, right? You know, so if you can't reach and get that bottle of medicine, it ain't going to do you no good, is it? So if you do not know God's word, this is why I'm such a stickler of teaching you the principles of the kingdom. You need to know these promises, and you need to know where they are. Now then, here's the thing. We had several people in this room that knew part of that verse. and several people that knew where it was. But not too many of you knew both where it was and what it said. But if it comes down to you got a spider bite, you got a snake bite, you got stung by ants, wasps, or anything else, you need the word hidden in your heart. Why did you think the Lord told you to study His word and hide His word in your heart? Is that what He said?
Yes.
Why did He tell you to do that? Because when you need it, right, Jack?
Right.
Yeah. In other words, if that had been a poisonous rattlesnake out there and I hadn't seen him in the grass and he had bit me, I would have needed to know where those promises are. But I know where they are. That's just like the day many years ago, I was down here in the back of my field building a fence across there for a corner post. I trenched down to put some steel and everything in there to hold the corner post, and I trenched through a great big fire ant bed. Now, you know, they're black and the ground's black and you can't see them. You know, although the ground was working alive with them, I'm trenching right through this big nest and they're way down in the ground. There must have been millions of fire ants in that dirt. I did not see them. I couldn't see them. I'm not even thinking about fire ants. You know, the dirt's moving anyway, you know. It's just that a trencher is just pulverizing that dirt. And so I get my trench dug and trench dug this way. And of course, a lot of dirt falls back in the hole. So I got a short sleeve shirt on, a pair of gloves on. I get down on my knees. I get down in there, my head on the ground, and I'm scooping the dirt out, throwing it out like this. And all of a sudden, I became on fire. My whole face was burning. My arms were burning. I thought, what in the world did I do? And I looked, and my arms are working alive with black fire ants. There is thousands of them on my arms. My face and neck is the same way, so I know what my face looks like. I don't need a mirror. I know since it's on fire, and usually every time a fire ant stings you, he leaves a whelp, a little white whelp. You know that? You know what I mean? So I jumped up out of that hole, and I throwed my glove off, and I put my hand up in there. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said in Mark 16:18, no deadly poison shall hurt me. I claim that verse by faith in the name of Jesus right this minute. Thank you, Lord. And boom, just like that, He blew every fire ant off of my body. There was not a fire ant left on me. There was not a sting. There was not a mark. There was nothing. I was as comfortable as I am right now without a mark on my body. And let me tell you, you think God's word don't work? Let me tell you, it works. Here, that happened several years ago, but here's a young man right now, just a few days ago, had a terrible spider bite from a recluse. It looked awful when I saw it, and today the swelling is completely down, but that's what he's been using. He's been standing on the word. Is that right, Ben?
Amen.
And it's working for you, isn't it, son? It works, but God's word always works for us when we use it in faith.
Amen.
Lord, you said in Mark 16:18, no deadly poison shall hurt me. Now, Lord, I sure do hope this works. Do you hear any doubt in that?
Yeah.
Oh, a lot. How much doubt did you say we could have?
God.
See, we got to believe with no doubt in our hearts. That's why I told Ben, I said, son, when you start claiming these promises of God, I said, there's a lot of other promises in there. But I said, when you start claiming them, you got to believe with no doubt in your heart. So when his friends, you know, say, but Ben, maybe you need to go to a doctor. Now then, he's got to have no doubt. He's got to say, I've already been to the doctor, the one and only doctor. So I don't need to go to a medical doctor. And you know the thing I like best about the Jesus, Ben? The price he charges to fix us. So all that money I have to work hard for to get, I don't have to give it to a doctor. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus doesn't charge for house calls. Now, what did our master send to heal us?
His word.
His word. Now, the first thing we always need to do whenever, before we start claiming his promises, what is the first thing, which Dave went over before? Repent of sin, right? That's the first thing we need to do, repent of sin. Lord, whatever I've done, I repent of my sin. And now, Lord, I'm standing on your promises. Now, I will have to tell you that after I got stung with all them ants that time and the Lord healed me, I saw that and it was just, I mean, it was awesome. I don't mind telling you, that was an awesome thing to happen to you. You never get over those kind of things. When you see yourself covered with ants and you claim the promises of God. Of course, I was excited that day because there was probably 10 million of them on me, or at least 10,000. I was covered with ants. And I knew what just one or two did. Every time I'm out somewhere and one or two stings me, I always has a white whip. And so when I saw all that go away and I got totally healed, a few months later, I was over in my house over here. I was painting some doors. And I was over there and I had a rag, and it was kind of a cool day that day. And I got some paint on the something, and I picked up a rag there and I wiped it off, and all of a sudden something stuck me in the finger. I thought, well, good grief, this is a grass burr. What is it in that rag? And I kind of flopped it around there and where I was at, and I didn't see any. So I went ahead and started wiping my hands off again, and it stuck me again. I thought, what is that? So I unfolded a rag right there, and when I unfolded, a great big old red wasp in that thing. So that big old red ball, he stung me twice. So I just went with the palm of my hand and mashed him flat. Now, that's the last person he's going to sting, I guarantee you. I said, okay, now. I said, Lord. Now, see, I'm not too excited because I've only been stung two times, you know, on the finger. It hadn't started swelling hardly yet or nothing, you know, so I'm not excited. It is hurting a little. So I gently say, Father, in the name of Jesus, Mark 16:18 says, no deadly poison shall hurt me. Now, is that what he said? Am I standing on his word?
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. So if you call upon him and you call and you've mentioned his word and the pain does not go away. Now, last time, how long did it take the pain to go away?
Instantly.
I mean, when I screamed, I mean, just like that. The ants were gone and the burn was gone. But this time I'm gentle and it didn't go away. So that scripture come to my mind. That's it. Where's that at? Matthew 11:12, and the violent take it by force. I thought, okay, Lord, I called you in remembrance of your word and it didn't happen. So I did this. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, it is written in your word. And that's all I got out. And the fire and everything was completely gone in my finger. I had no swelling, nothing. All I had to do is become violent with his word. Father, you said. And he says, oh, I was just putting my son to the test to see if he was really going to remember me. Do you think he'll do that to us?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he'll put you to the test. He wants to know, do you believe his word? When you do, I mean, that went away. And so, praise God, that's the only test I can think of that I had in a long time. You know, I guess I haven't really been stung two or three times since then. But I've kind of, you know, it's got to where I know the word. And I say, okay, Lord, your word says, you know, so I just claim it and go on. And maybe 5 or 10 minutes later, I think, oh, it's not hurting at all. Praise God. It never did swell up or nothing. You notice Ben said the swelling's gone down. He's fine. Everything, you know. But boy, you ought to have seen it the day that Cheryl and I looked at it. It had a hole in his finger as big as the end of your finger. I mean, it looked awful. And I had an aunt that lived in Cross Plains, Texas. She got bit right here on the leg with one of those recluse spiders. And of course, she was a Southern Baptist, went to church. My aunt was a great Christian woman. I heard she'd been in hospital in Brownwood for nearly 3 weeks and had had two or three surgeries. And that thing just kept getting bigger and bigger. How many of y'all have ever seen what happens when a recluse spider bites you? I mean, some of y'all, Mary, you have you seen them? You never seen them? Betty, you seen them? Does it look awful? They're horrible. They just rot the skin away, right? Sir? Oh, you got bit by one? How long did it take you to get healed? What did you have to do?
Couple weeks, look at it.
Wow. Yeah.
Couple weeks.
But did you stand on the word? Okay, that's what you did too. Okay. Well, I would have to say, according to our faith, be it done unto us. Now, see, I got bit by one of those on my arm a few years ago, right here. And like I told you a while ago, it took a week from the beginning to the end of it that it went to a big, big thing like Ben's did, a great big thing. And my arm swelled up the whole thing. And then after that, I started getting better because I'm standing on God's word. And it took a week from the day I got stung to the day I had no mark left on my arm whatsoever. It took a whole week. But
my uncle died, and I know another couple there, the wife died.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they'll kill you. Yeah. Isn't that a shame? Like my aunt, she was a Christian. She was a great Christian. And I finally heard she having so much trouble. I drove from where I live to Brownwood, Texas, where she is in the hospital. And I went in and told her, I said, Amy, I said, you know, we need to stand by faith on the promises of God to get you healed. She said, Thurman, I am standing by faith. I said, ma'am, if you've been in here for 3 weeks and you've had three surgeries, you ain't standing on God's word. I said, you're not standing on God's word. You don't know how to stand on God's word. I said, number one, if you're standing on God's word, you wouldn't be in this hospital. You'd be home. So that's the way I believe. You know, I never recommended at all being go to the hospital. I didn't go to the hospital when I got bit by that thing. I believe, just like he said, he didn't go to the hospital either. He stood on God's word. But those things are terrible, and what they do to us is terrible. But Jesus did say, according to your faith. Is that what he said? Yep. Now, what if we have a little bit of faith and not a lot of faith? You may have a problem. It may take you a little longer. Now, what if I had it took me a week for my arm to get healed. Now, the day that those ants stung me down there, I obviously had great faith because I screamed it with such exuberance, I was healed instantly. I mean, I really think that's the way it should be every time, because that's the way it virtually was with Jesus. When our master prayed for people, how long did it take most people to get healed? Man, just like that. I mean, when he prayed for you, it's done. And he says, we're supposed to be able to do the same thing he did, even greater things than these that he done in his name. So that tells me where my faith is. I can tell you for sure that if a king walked in right now, stood back there, and I said, Lord, where is my faith? He'd probably say, you have between 0% and 1%, unfortunately. You see where I'm at? You have little faith. When Peter walked on the water and then he sunk, what did he say to him? Oh, you of... I had never walked on the water yet, folks. Have you? Just like you said, Jack, that according to the power that worketh in us. Now, what is the power? The Word. The Word of the Holy Spirit. But the Word. Now, if we don't have the Word in us, if you don't have the Word in you, in other words, if you get hurt, you get stung, or whatever it is, if you don't know that Word, he didn't say he sent a bottle of medicine to heal you, did he?
No.
He said he sent his Word and healed you. And so now what if we are too busy in the world? Now this is pretty normal. Well, is it not? We're too busy in the world. We're not studying the Word of God. We're working hard to do whatever we do. And we're good Christians. We go to church every Sunday and, you know, and maybe even tithe and everything. But all of a sudden, then one day, a recluse spider jumps off and bites you on the finger. And you don't have a lot of time. I mean, you know, within a matter of a few minutes, your skin starts rotting. And boy, I mean, my arm looked terrible. Ben's arm, his finger, it looked terrible. I mean, it looked terrible. He had a hole in his finger. I had a hole in my arm. It looked terrible. When that happened to me, you know, now that I think about it, you know, I think when I got bit, you know, I'm not sure. I can't really think how I did that. I don't know if I started claiming the promises right then or if I waited till somebody told me that sure does look bad. You need to go to a doctor. That's probably what I did. You know, probably a few hours later when it's swelling, turning rotten and everything else, somebody said, what happened to your arm? I mean, I'm walking along and they look at my arm and said, Thurman, what happened to your arm? I said, oh, I got bit by a spider a while ago. And he said, have you seen it? I said, well, yeah, I guess it's okay. Nothing really feels bad. He said, look at it. And I look at it and my goodness, there's a hole there, you know, big around a quarter. You know, it looks awful and it's running and oozing pus out of it and just in an hour or two. And you think, oh my goodness, maybe I better stand on the Word. That's a good time to start, right? But now, technically speaking, I should have been quoting the Word instantly. Now then, if we're trained like this to have the Word in us at all times, to walk holy and walk in obedience to God's Word, then if a spider or anything, an ant or a wasp or anything else tries to bite you, what are you going to do? You're going to claim the Word. Just like, I taught this to a group down in Flower Mound one year. I was teaching, and there was one of the ladies there had a son about 14, 15, 16 years old, and they'd been out playing in the backyard with their friends one afternoon, and as they were playing in the backyard and running and doing all kinds of stuff, they hit some kind of a big bucket or something, and under that bucket it had a bunch of hornets in there, a hornet nest. Well, those big old hornets, you know, they're as big as your finger, you know. Some of them come flying out of there, and boy, they're all upset because their house has been messed up. And this 16-year-old boy, you know, he doesn't know what to do. And so when this big old hornet comes, zzz, bam, right on the neck. Man, you know, he's screaming, hollering, trying to get that thing off of him and everything. And he comes running, Mom, Mom, get the medicine out. I just been stung on the neck by a hornet. She said, just a minute, son, let me get the Bible. He said, Mom, I need some medicine. I don't need the Bible. She said, I just found out at a meeting I was at last week, the Bible is the best medicine in the world. She said, I never knew that. But she said, this man told us, and so she showed me a scripture. He showed me a scripture that says that no deadly poison shall hurt you. So she said, I think it was in Mark 16, 18, but I'm going to get it and read it first. So she went and got the Bible, opened up, said, yep, that's it. Mark 16, 18. She reached up and put her hand on his neck and said, in the name of Jesus, I command that sting to come out of my boy in Jesus' name. Took her hand off and he says, wow, Mom, let me see that. That really did work. It don't hurt at all. Now see, if we all live like that with our children, when we have a need, and I don't care who you are, you're going to have times of need like that. Are you not? Whenever a wasp, a hornet, a snake, or whatever it is, you know, you need to make sure you're ready with the Word hidden in your heart. Because the Word is the best medicine on the earth. Is it not? So what God sent? And what did he send it to do? To heal us and deliver us. Isn't that amazing how here in Psalms, he put this verse right down here in the middle of everything. They shall take, of course, this says, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. But now, after you quote that, then what do you have to do? What do you have to do? Yeah, praise him and believe. Is that right? You have to believe with how much doubt? Zero doubt. It's done. So if you go running off to the doctor, if Ben had went to the doctor the other night when his friends recommended it, that would have been doubt. In fact, I'm going to tell you something on Pat. She prayed for a preacher one time right here when they was here before, and he had a terrible back trouble. And he'd called and left a message, and when she finally got the phone call, she called him back on his cell phone, and he was nearly to the doctor's office. He was hurting so bad, and she said, well, let me pray for you, and she did. And when she prayed for him, what happened to his pain, Pat? It went away. She stood on the Word of God and prayed for him, and it went away. And so he hung up the phone, thanked her, said, you know, Pat, thank you very much that prayer, because my pain, which was really killing me, has totally went away. And so he hung up the phone. Pat hung up the phone. He turned around and he thought, well, I'm already right here at the doctor's office, so I might as well go in and let them check me. So he walks up and grabs the knob on the door to open it, and the pain came back. And do you know he still has that pain to this day? I have prayed for him myself several times, and that pain has not gone away. Now, this guy's a pastor. Do you think God expects his pastors to believe his word? Did he honor his word when you prayed for him, Pat? Yes, he did. Well, then why did he not get healed again? To them that much is given, much is required. You know, so if you come to the Lord, and especially if you're prayed for, and even if you're on the way to the doctor, and if you're prayed for and your symptoms all go away, should you continue to go to the doctor? In fact, Eric told me a story the other day. It was kind of mind-boggling. They were out doing something, and he shot a nail in his knee. Is that right? Shot a nail in his knee with a nail gun. He's a carpenter. They pulled the nail out, and all the boys that were there, now he's right here, so he can tell me if I made a mistake. They pulled that nail out of his knee, and I think it was a framing nail. Three-inch nail. He fired and hit his knee, and that nail went in his knee, plumb up to the pants. And they pulled it out, him and the other guys that were there, and three or four men that are there with him that day have been in front. They're all good Christian boys. And so they immediately started praying. I mean, they prayed. They prayed in tongues. They did everything. And of course, he pulled that thing out, and they began to worship and praise the Lord that he has no pain and everything. And you had no pain, did you? No pain, nothing, pulled a nail out, everything's great. They worshiped, praise the Lord for a few minutes, and they finally decided, well, we got to go back to work. You know, we ain't going to get this house built, you know, sitting here praising the Lord. So we praise him for fixing Eric's knee. So they worked the rest of the day with no problem. After the day was over and they started home, right down the street, the pastor lived down there. So they weren't going to go in and tell him their miracle. And so they go into the pastor and tell him what happened and what God did for him. And he says, Eric, how long has it been since you've had a tetanus shot? This should never have come out of the mouth of a pastor. Especially not for four young men that have stood on God's word and got him healed with no pain. He's worked all afternoon now with no pain. So he said, well, I guess it's been 15 years. He said, you need to go get a tetanus shot. He said, but my knee's okay. He said, you got to promise me you'll go get a tetanus shot. So he said, okay, pastor, I'll go get a tetanus shot. So he went down by the doctor's office or whatever it was, the nurse's station or whatever it was, and said, I guess I need a tetanus shot. And the second they stuck that tetanus shot in you, what happened?
All the pain came back in, worse than before.
Oh, my goodness. All the pain. See, what happens when you doubt? God backs off. Is that awful? God says, how much you must believe with how much doubt? And after he healed you and you worked all day and you saw the healing and no pain and you're able to do everything. And for 3 days, if I remember what you, after that, you were in excruciating pain in your knee. Day and night. Because he didn't believe God. Now then, why do you think God shows us these kind of things? To tell us and show us how he works. Of course, he told us in his word how it happens. He sent his word and told us all about it. And then we hear all these testimonies about how it works. And when we do it exactly, if you'd have told that pastor, I'm sorry, but I ain't going. You know, I mean, it's healed, it's done, praise God. The next 3 days would have been a lot different in your life, Eric. Yeah, you would not have had those problems. But you see what happens if we don't fully trust God, right? Now, if we trust him, what did he send to heal us?
His word.
Can his word ever fail?
No.
No, his word cannot. The only thing that can make the word fail is us. If we don't believe it, we're the ones that make it not work. Now let's go to 2 Peter 1. I start with verse 1, and let's look and see some of the promises God made us there in 2 Peter. Look at this, 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now then, do you remember an event that Peter and John walked up to the temple one morning? And there was a guy saying, will you please give me some money? Alms. Is that what he was saying? Peter said, I don't have no money. What I got's better than money. Now, this is the kind of faith we all need to get. He said, I don't have any money, but what I got's better than money. So he said, in the name of Jesus. Now, see, he had remembered that the master, when he was here, had told him, anything you want in my name, you speak it and it's yours. And Peter believed him. He said, what I have is better than money. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And that guy looked up at him and said, what are you talking about? Now I can only imagine what Peter did when he says, give me that hand. I told you to get up in the name of Jesus. Can you only imagine this kind of faith? But what did the guy do? When he jerked him up, what did he do? Did he fall back down? What did the guy start doing? He's dancing, he's running, he's playing. Oh my God, running up down the steps and everything else. And everybody jumping and praising God, right? Now, do we all need that kind of faith? You know, most of us have never walked in that kind of faith. It took me nearly all of my life to get to where I saw that happen the first time in my life. And when it did, it just blew me away. When I saw that first miracle like that happen, it just blew me away to see God do those kind of things. But he still does those, Eric.
Amen.
Yeah, he still does those kind of things. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Okay, verse 3 and 4. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that what? That pertain to what? So has he cut us short, ladies and gentlemen, with anything? Has he given us everything we need to walk in divine health and to walk in power with him? Is it already ours? Behold, I give you power. Behold, it's yours. Just think about this. According as his divine power, what kind of limitations is there in our Lord's divine power? Does he have any limitations? Tony, what can the master do? That's right. I mean, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all you and me can even think or imagine, can't he? I mean, with all the knowledge and wisdom he's given you and me, we couldn't even begin to think about what he can do. We can't think that big. He's awesome. And he lives in you. Isn't that something? And he lives in me. Wow. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The first promise I think about, he sent his word and done what? And delivered me. So if I don't know his word, am I in trouble?
Yes.
That's exactly right. If I don't know his word, I can't receive by faith something I don't even know belongs to me, can I, Scott?
No, you can.
But when you get a hold of these promises, you can call the master to his promises. And he shows up for you every time, doesn't he? We need somebody like Scott and Kim up there in Chicago where the tornado was. They'd be rebuking it. How many of y'all remember? They're from Minneapolis. How many of y'all remember here in Minneapolis when the Presbyterian?
Yeah, it was
a Presbyterian church, wasn't it? There, and they were going to try to have a meeting to find out whether they were going to ordain homosexuals or not. Do y'all remember that a few years ago? And do you know it's amazing? The day that they were going to have the vote, I think it was at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock or something, whatever it was. They were going, what was 2 o'clock?
It was the afternoon,
I think at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they were going to have the vote, like on Thursday afternoon or Friday afternoon, whatever it was. Now, all these Presbyterian people from all over the United States had been meeting the big boys to see if they were going to let them ordain homosexuals in the Presbyterian church. Now, first of all, if you're a Christian, what did God do to Sodom and Gomorrah that was homosexual? What did he do to it? Wow. If he burned it up, I got a feeling he don't like it. Do you? And so I think that, you know, and the first world, the first group of people that was here the first 1,000 years, they were wicked continuously. And what did he do to them? He destroyed them with water, right? So, I mean, he is an awesome God, and you don't want to tick him off. That's all I got to say, because he really can't hurt you. He really, can't he, Jack? He really can't hurt you. You know, people say, but he's loving and kind. Yeah, he is, but he's a God of judgment too. You can't read the Bible and miss that, right? I mean, all through the place. So whenever the Presbyterians were going to have this vote, they had all these little booths all around the place with flyers and everything all over the place. And all of a sudden, on a beautiful day, just like today, I guess it was still beautiful a while ago, I was out there, wasn't a cloud in the sky, beautiful, cloudless day, all of a sudden, a big black cloud formed down on, I think it's 35. Yeah, so that big cloud formed, and here comes a tornado right down the street. This thing, it didn't hit nothing on either side. It come right down the street, come right down to that big center and that big Presbyterian church. It hit both those buildings and turned around, went right back out and disappeared. That's the only two buildings in town that thing hit. And you know what some of those people had the audacity to say? I wonder if that was God that did that. Who do you think is in control of the tornadoes? God. I mean, if you didn't get it, if you were there at that meeting and you're going to vote, and if your wood is that wet, you know, if you are that dense, and especially if you're in an upper position in the church and you've been invited to this meeting, and you don't know what the Word of God says about homosexuality and immorality and sexual perversion and all that stuff, if you don't know what it said, you need to start in Matthew and read through Revelation one more time, slow and gently, and let it soak in. Because he has a whole lot to say about it, doesn't he? Oh, my goodness gracious. All the letters that Paul wrote, all of them have something to say about sexual immorality. Wow. And so that storm come down there. It tore up lots of things, broke the steeple on the church. It didn't do a lot of damage, but it done a little, and then it went right back the way it come, and then it disappeared. And everybody says, I wonder if that was God. What do you think? I think it was. I think it absolutely. I think God was up there saying, my children, I want y'all to know, I don't want to kill you over this. I still love you, but I don't like what you're doing. Don't you see that? He was judging them. I'm telling you, it was awful. Yes, Bill?
It says in the word that the devil is a prince of power of the air,
yeah.
But he's limited to what he can do if God wants to change the situation.
Oh, of course, yeah.
That's what happened.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that God could have said, okay, devil, you can take a couple of your demons and bring a little tornado this big and run it right down that street and tear up that building like this and then bring it back out. He could very well have used the devil to do that, the prince of the power of the air. But he could have done it himself if he wanted to. You know, in the Old Testament, there's lots of places where it says, and the Lord done this. But, you know, he can use Satan if he wants to. You know, we know that he used Satan to afflict Job, to kill all of Job's children, to everything, you know. And he said, you can go this far, you can do this, but you can't touch him. And then later said, you can touch him, but you can't kill him. You can only do this. So who's in control? God's in control. I guarantee God's in control. When it's your time to die, he's going to take you out, and there ain't nobody can deliver you out of the hands of the king. And that's what he says, you know. So, but if you're his children, and he loves you, and he does love you, if you're his children, you've been walking in obedience to his word, when he does take your life on earth physically, where will we be? We'll be in his arms. Oh, my goodness, I can't think about nothing better than that. Can you? Being in the hands of Jesus? Wow, that's awesome. But anyway, let's look here. He says, let's go to verse 5 and 6. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Wow, verse 7 and 8. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, that will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you, let me just ask this question. Last week we talked about a prayer in Ephesians 1, starting with verse 16. Does anybody remember any of the things he said to pray for? What did he say pray for? Wisdom, revelation, knowledge. Now, understanding. Did anybody do any of those things this week? Oh, y'all did, huh? Y'all made you an outline and you and your kids done that, huh? Now, then, if God told us to pray for knowledge, wisdom, revelation, understanding, and all those things, don't you think we should take his suggestions and do what he said? Amen. So if we do what he says and we pray for knowledge and wisdom and revelation and understanding, then what is going to come upon us and our children?
All of those things.
Huh?
All of those things.
All of those things. That's exactly right. Now, do you see anything in any of those things you like?
Oh, yeah.
I like all of them, don't you?
Everyone.
I like all of them. So, for if these things be in you and abound. So when I ask you next week, I'm going to give you a test next Sunday. If I give you a test next Sunday, you should be able to write all these answers out for me. Right, Gracie?
Amen.
You can do it, can't you, girl? Yeah, y'all know I ain't going to give you a test. I tell you, I'm going to give you a test. Nobody comes back. Isn't that something? Flunk out. You know, we hadn't changed much. As a professor in the university,
right.
You know, I mean, kids hate tests, don't they? I know I used to hate those tests, too. When the guy thought, oh, Lord. Especially we walk in on Monday morning and the teacher said on Friday afternoon, we're going to give you a test Monday. And I was too busy thinking about what I was going to do over the weekend. I didn't hear what she said. And I walk in, she starts handing out the paper. And I said, what's this? She said, oh, we're fixing to take a test. I told you last Friday. I said, oh, no, am I in trouble? There was only one subject in high school that I didn't have to study, and I made perfect straight A's all the time, and that was algebra. Everything else, when it comes to English, forget it. All of you know that.
Yeah.
That's what Bill Gothard told me, Thurman, if I could kind of get your English straightened up a little bit, I could make a good teacher out of you. I said, I'm sure glad God don't hold me responsible for my English. Wow, praise the Lord. So, you know, obviously God doesn't hold that against us. You know, I mean, he made me an engineer. He didn't make me an English major, because when it comes to English, man, I tell you, I mean, if it hadn't been for some good friends of mine helping me diagram sentences, I'd have never got out of English. I still don't understand all that stuff. You know, I may be able to fly an airplane, I can build a building, but don't ask me to diagram that sentence, or don't ask me what the adjective is or the noun. Forget it, I don't know. I mean, that's not my thing. Tony, you're an engineer like me. Are you good in English?
Not very good
either. Okay, I was hoping I wasn't the only one. But boy, I'll tell you, when it comes to English, I'm not very good at all in English. But if y'all don't know, when I was working with Bill Gothard, he's got a PhD in I don't know what all. And of course, I'm teaching these principles. And he told me one day, he said, Thurman, if you stay with me and you work with me and you teach this, I'm going to have to train you how to be an English major. He said, because if I could get you to use the right and correct English in places, he said, you would really be an awesome teacher. And I thought, okay, God, what do we do here? So God got me kicked out. So I never did have to learn all that English. He just kicked me out. He let me go in there and preach two times and done all kinds of miracles for the two times I got to speak at a Bill Gothard conference. And God, thank God that he didn't hold my English against me. You know, he just healed them and everything. Because he didn't send Thurman Scribner's word to heal these people, did he? What did he send? His word. And so all I got to do is quote his word. I can just say, the Lord sent his word to heal us. And I don't care how that come out, it means the same any way you say it, right? Now, if you ask me, what is the nouns or adjectives or whatever, I don't know. But all I know is he sent his word and healed us. And that's what I stand on. Praise the Lord. Wow. He sent his word. For if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If all those things we just read there in that list in those two verses before, if they abound in us, if we walk in love, we walk morally upright, virtue, morally upright, excellent, no sexual impurity of no kind. I mean, pure and clean and holy before the Lord. Is that what he wants?
Amen.
In every one of us, that's what he wants, right? A clean, pure, holy man. Is that what he wants? Yeah. So if we walk in that, then we'll be able to abound in all of these good works. And when we pray for people, he will hear your prayers, won't he, Eric? He will. And he'll do great and mighty things. Wow. Okay, let's go on to the next couple of verses, verse 9 and 10. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, this is probably the hardest thing, just like Dave said a while ago when he talking to that pastor, have you confessed your sin? Now, what did he say? Did he say he had confessed his sin? What is that the way he said it? Oh, what did he say? He confessed it. Oh, many times. Yes, I have repented of my sin many times. If you repent of the same sin many times, did you believe it's ever been done?
No.
No. You know, can you imagine a God that's a faith God and you come to him and say, Lord, I messed up right here. You know, I'm so sorry. I asked you to forgive me. And the Lord said, okay, that's done. Throw that in the way. Now let's go on. I've restored you. And then 30 minutes later, you come back and say, oh God, Lord, I'm so sorry that I messed up over here. Can you imagine what that must make the Lord feel like? Are you trying to tell me my blood is not sufficient to forgive you? That's slapping me in the face. Don't you dare tell me that you confess that sin and my blood's not sufficient. Would that make you a little upset if you had died for them? And they told you what you did ain't good enough? It wouldn't have said too well, would it? I'm glad he's merciful. You know, so we need to get it that when we come to the Lord and confess our sin, how many times do we have to confess it? One time. It's done, right, Eric? When we confess it, it's done. Praise God. Lord, it's over. Now let's get up and go have some fun. Let's go do something. You know, I've confessed the sin. I ain't going to do that no more. Now, he's going to tell you, just like he told the little woman that with not the issue of blood, but the little woman that was caught in adultery. She said, "Daughter, where's your accusers?" She said, "Well, I guess they're all gone." He says, "None of them have accused you, huh?" She says, "No." He said, "Well, neither do I." But what did he say do? Go and sin no more. In other words, just because I've forgiven you and washed you in my blood, don't go back out there and do it again, right? Don't let these guys find you in bed with another man in the morning. We don't want that. Now then, if you come back tomorrow and they caught you again tonight with another man, we may have an issue here, you know. But I'll forgive you. But just think, if he tells us that he forgives us, and then we go back and do it again, just like Dave said, there is no more sacrifice for that sin. You are going to get a spanking. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like a spanking from God. I'd much rather confess my sin and then never do it again, hadn't you? Never do it again. Wow. So let's see. And he says there, "Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if we do these things, we shall never fall." If we walk in obedience to his word, we walk holy before him, and then we get bit by a recluse spider on our finger, and we know he sent his word, and we stand on his word, what's going to happen, Ben? It's going to get healed. Just like his is getting healed. The swelling is all gone away. His finger's nearly normal. You're going to get healed. Could he have made it any simpler? He sent what to heal us? Isn't that amazing, Weston?
Praise God.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be alive today.
That's right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, Weston just got through saying, said if it wasn't for the Word of God and standing on the Word of God and claiming the Word of God, he said, I wouldn't be alive today. Because 7 or 8 years ago, the doctors told him then with stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer, it's over. And then, of course, when he went back, you know, a few months later, after he stood on the Word and he told him he ain't taking no medicine, he ain't taking no chemo, he ain't taking no radiation, they all thought he was nuts. I don't mind telling you, the doctors, they just don't get it. But if you're going to stand on God's holy Word, be prepared to catch flack from the world. So they said, well, if you're still alive in 6 months, come back. We'll give you another test if you're still alive. Well, he went back and that doctor said, whatever you're doing, you better bottle it. You better patent it because it works.
He said, what secret medicine have you been taking?
Oh, the word, right?
The word.
The word. What secret medicine have you been taking? Is there anything better than the word for medicine?
And it's not a secret.
And it's right. You'd think it was, though, wouldn't you, Bill? I mean, you go start asking the average person in church today, most of them don't know this. I was in church most of my life, and I never knew these simple things we've talked about today, which I now understand so simply, I didn't know these promises that to get healed, God had sent his word, and all I got to do is find just one of those promises. Just one. Just one. Now then, Dave, do we have the ability to go to the Amplified Bible? In Matthew 18:18. Matthew 18:18 in the Amplified. If we can do this, I want to show you something in Matthew 18:18. Amplified. Okay, there it is. Matthew 18:18. Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit, declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. You know, the King James says, whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth should be loose in heaven. I never understood that until I read it in this translation. When I read it in that translation, now then, whatever I command must already be in heaven. So what is already in heaven? His word. So if I take his word and I say, I'm taking the word of God, I am commanding my body to be healed because you made me these promises, I am binding this or I am loosing this, I am doing it because it's already written and done and cleared to pass through the gates of heaven. So now then, anything that's lawful in heaven is lawful to me on earth. Anything that's illegal in heaven is illegal to me on the earth. You see that? Does that make that real clear? Makes that really easy to understand. So when I stand on God's word for healing people, if I take a scripture, like for instance, let's go to one of these that we're going to bind on earth or loose on earth, and let's go to this awesome scripture that I love to talk about in James 5, 14, 15, 16. Look at this. I've said to many people, this is the scripture God gave me. The first man that had stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer that I prayed for, this is the scripture God gave me to get him healed. But look at this. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Is that his word? Is that a guarantee to heal you every time? So what do you got to do? Let's go to the next verse, and the answer is in the next verse. Look what verse 16 says. So confess your sins or faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So when you pray for somebody, you pray for them in diligence with no doubt in your heart. And if you do that, if they confess their sins one to another, is that a guarantee from God to heal us every time? Just think of that poor old guy in the hospital up there in Denton Regional that's walking along, maybe 60 years old. I don't know, maybe way off, but I know he could just barely walk. He's pushing that little thing, walking little bitty steps, kind of like this. I thought, oh, Lord, I'm glad I'm not in that kind of shape. Lord, I'm glad I'm not in that kind of shape. So that's why I thought, when he walked by, you know how the Holy Spirit will do? Pray for him. I said, okay, so I didn't. And then after he got 10 steps by, I thought, I can't let him get by. So I got to run down there and ask him. I'll ask him. I guess that's where I messed up. I shouldn't ask. You know, I should just go down there and lay my hands and say, be healed in the name of Jesus, according to Mark 16, 18. And then he said, that's like the Spanish lady that day over there that me and Eldon and Dave was all over yonder at Home Depot. The girl had the migraine headache. You know, she was, was like this. And I think it's Eldon or Dave, one, I forget which one, says, man, Dave, I think he said, ma'am, is something wrong with you? And she said, I have a splitting migraine headache. And, of course, when she said that, I'm reaching for her. And Dave said, well, can we pray for you? And just as I say, be healed in Jesus' name, she says, no. Yeah. I take my hand. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. It's too late. You're already healed. And guess what? As the headache went away, she was dumbfounded. She said, it's gone. I said, I told you. So, see, maybe I need to stop asking. And just, is that right, Gracie? That ain't no use to ask, get permission, just, you know, get confess it later, right after you get them healed. I wonder what our God would do if we just prayed. In fact, after that old guy went by, me and Cheryl said, I prayed for him anyway. I thought, he can't keep me from praying for him. And God can move and do something great. And even though he's in rebellion, God clearly says he'll take my prayer and he'll heal people because of my prayer to you. You don't have to be in agreement with them all the time. It sure does help. But, you know, God wants to draw people to himself. And all he needs is somebody that's willing to pray in faith. And if you and I is willing to pray in faith, he can move. Can he not, Mike? He can do all kinds of wonderful things. So, but because of these great and precious promises, we can become partakers of the divine nature of God. And that means in God's divine nature in heaven. I don't believe there's any kind of sickness or weakness in heaven. So we need to start standing on these promises, calling him in remembrance of his word for anything that happens to us so that we can walk in divine health. I love walking in divine health, don't you? It's such a wonderful place, and I love it. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you for this wonderful word that you give us. You sent your word and healed us. You sent your word and delivered us. Lord, you sent your word for everything. And I praise you for those words. And I thank you for showing us how to use your word. I thank you for, as we stand on your word, I thank you for showing up for us to complete your word and heal the sick and deliver the ones that need to be delivered, and that you just do great and mighty things, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Lord, I ask you to challenge each one of us by the Holy Spirit that this next week that we will do something wonderful for the kingdom of God. We will pray for people, or if we're invited to a hospital, we'll go and we'll pray for people. But Lord, if we don't have to go to the hospital, you can pray for them at home. You can pray for them driving down the road in your car. But Lord, pray for people. When you hear there's a need, never hesitate to convict us by the Holy Spirit that we need to pray so we can see you do great and wonderful things, because you cannot do anything until after we prayed. And then Lord, after we prayed, there's nothing impossible with you. So Lord, we praise you and thank you for doing that for us. And Lord, as we go into the week, as we read and study your word, I ask you to open our hearts and our minds to the understanding, the revelation, wisdom, knowledge of the word of God, that you might build our faith so we might be able to do great and wonderful things, so we will walk holy and obedient to your word ourselves, and we'll be clean and pure so you can use us as a vessel of honor for the works of God. Lord, we all want, that's our desire, to be vessels of honor that's used for the Master's work. Lord, use us this week for your glory. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor, and we thank you for doing it for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.